Welcome to the Sex Talk Cafe, a podcast where you'll get to learn from the experts in the field of sex, love, and relationships. The mission of the Sex Talk Cafe is to normalize the conversation on sexuality while building a bridge between the sexual and spiritual. I'm your host, Susan Morgan Taylor. I'm a holistic sex therapist, intuitive coach, and specialist in women's sexuality and feminine spirituality. I'm the founder and CEO of the Pathway to Pleasure Collective, where I help women and couples around the world restore intimacy, save their relationship, and get back to love without feeling like they have to sacrifice themselves just to keep their partner happy. Thank you so much for joining me. Welcome to the Sex Talk Cafe. All right. Awesome. Well, welcome everybody to the Sex Talk Cafe. I'm so excited about my guest today. Judson Brandeis is an award-winning urologist and sexual medicine expert, clinical researcher, physician educator, and a caring clinician and surgeon. Over the course of his 25-year career as a board-certified urologist, he's performed thousands of surgeries and pioneered surgical robotics. In February of 2019, he opened Brandeis MD, a national leader in technology and sexual medicine innovations for men. Dr. Brandeis is dedicated to helping his patients and men everywhere feel great, look good, and have better physical intimacy. A native New Yorker, Dr. Judson Brandeis now resides in Northern California. Dr. Brandeis, welcome to the Sex Talk Cafe.
Oh, thank you so much, Susan. I've always wanted to be in the cafe.
I know you have. And we talk about the best thing to talk about here at this cafe. And our topic today is super juicy. So excited to have you here for our conversation on penis enlargement. Penis enlargement. What a great topic. So tell our listeners a little bit, maybe just about you and this topic and how do you help people? And does size matter? Does it actually matter?
Yeah, I mean, that's a great question. And I'm not here to advocate for guys to have bigger penises, right? That's the two purposes of the penis are to urinate and to procreate. And as long as you can urinate and you can procreate, your penis is perfectly normal size, right? But as a urologist, as a surgeon, as a sexual medicine expert, I see a lot of men who come to see me because of penis enlargement procedures gone bad. Whether it's fillers or fat transfers or like ligament ligations or the penuma implant, I've seen really catastrophic problems from all of those. And so here you take a perfectly normal penis that functions for urination and procreation, and now all of a sudden it's destroyed in some way. You know, I've seen guys need multiple different operations or removal of foreign bodies. And so I said, you know, there's got to be a better way. And I have a background in research from American Red Cross, from Harvard Medical School, from UCLA. And so I created the PLONG study to look at a protocol that I created using a traction device developed by the Mayo Clinic, a suction device developed by Dr. Joel Kaplan, the Affirm nitric oxide boosting supplement, which I created, and PRP. Platelet-rich plasma injected into the penis. And so I created the study. I got it institutional review board approved. I got it listed by the clinicaltrials.gov, which is the NIH website. It took me about 2 years to do the study. I had 30 patients enrolled over a six-month period. I presented the data at the International Society of Sexual Medicine and the Sexual Medicine Society of North America. And then I published in Andrology, which is a reviewed journal. So, I mean, there's so many marketing gimmicks and false information in sexual medicine that I felt it was really important to do something properly. And I have the knowledge and the credentials to do it properly. And it's been vetted by other professionals. And so what we found is that over a six-month period, we were able to grow penises about 15%, which translated in that study to about 0.8 inches, so almost an inch in length, about a half an inch in girth, and better function. And this is for men between, say, the ages of 20 and 55 with totally normal erectile function. If you have erectile dysfunction, then we need to fix your erectile dysfunction because you don't have enough blood flow to fill the penis that you have.
Gotcha.
Right. But this is for guys who have normal erectile function and normal nighttime erections.
Awesome. So the PLONG protocol is what this is. It sounds like a very holistic approach to increasing penis size. And I'm curious if you can talk a little bit about like these other things that are out there that men are doing that potentially have really devastating impacts on the body. What are some of the risks with these other procedures? And how is it that Pelong, my understanding is there's no side effects, or I mean, certainly there's got to be some risk with it, but I'd love to talk about both of those things. Like what's out there and how is Pelong different and how does it have fewer or no side effects than what
Yeah,
we have?
Susan, that's a great question. And you know, it is holistic in a certain sense. And you tell me, but I don't think women are just looking for size.
No.
I think
Yeah.
women are looking more for confidence. It's, you know, how you use what you have.
Yeah.
And I think that if a woman sees a guy with a bunch of filler stuffed in his penis or a silicone taco under the skin of the penis, it might be a little off-putting. I think in a balance, women would rather have a guy that's confident in what he has rather than not so confident and get a bunch of filler squirted into the penis.
Well, and a lot of risk, I think, comes with fillers. I mean, if that's anything similar to the cosmetic fillers that a lot of women tend to use on their face, I mean, there's a lot of risk with that, right? You can, all kinds of terrible things can happen if it's done incorrectly, correct? Like blood vessels can
Yeah.
burst.
Well, I mean, that, but also, you know, fillers need to be suspended in fluid in order to be injected. And so within a short period of time, a lot of that fluid that they're suspended in will reabsorb. And so for a typical filler into the penis, it costs about $10,000 up front. And then it lasts for about 2 years. And then every 2 years or so, you have to get additional fillers at a cost of maybe $2,000 or $3,000. So first of all, it's very expensive. Second of all, you get kind of a lumpy, bumpy penis. And third of all, you're just improving girth. You're doing
Okay.
nothing for length.
Well, that
And
was going to
so,
be my next question on that. Yeah, like so that's
yeah.
just for birth, the fillers.
And you don't do anything about the head of the penis. So you get what we call in the urology, the pig in a blanket penis. And so pig in a blankets are great at cocktail parties, but they're not so great in bed.
No, yeah, that definitely sounds really freaky. I don't know if I'd want to encounter that. If I don't. Now, do you help? So, men, let's just say that do people come to you to help repair the damage that has been done from other procedures that were ineffective? Is that something that you help with?
Yeah, I mean that's how this kind of started. That was the genesis of this, was that I was seeing so many men and they come in, it's really like tragic. They come see you with these puppy dog eyes, like I did something that I shouldn't have done and I didn't really need to do. And now what used to be perfectly normal is totally messed up.
My gosh.
And can you please help me? And you know, sometimes you can, sometimes you can. I mean, I had this guy who had a penuma or a implant placed. He was a perfectly normal 25-year-old guy with a perfectly normal penis. You know, not all guys that get penile enhancement procedures have small penises. In the Pelong study, a third had small penises, a third had normal penises, and a third had large penises. So, but this guy, he got an infection after the surgery. He had to be in the hospital for a week on antibiotics. Then he had to have surgery to get it taken out. And then he had two more corrective surgeries to try to get back to where he started from. And that's just not a situation you want to put yourself in. The Pelong is perfectly safe,
Okay.
right? It uses a traction device to stretch the penis in length. It uses
Okay.
a suction device to stretch the penis in girth. It uses the Affirm nitric oxide boosting supplement, which is a perfectly healthy supplement that helps improve circulation and mostly in the Pelong to improve nighttime erections, because nighttime erections, you should be getting 30 to 60 minutes of nighttime erections every time you go to sleep, and that will help stretch the penis. And then the secret sauce is the platelet-rich plasma. So in your body, in your platelets, you have two types of factors. First, there are clotting factors, right? So everyone knows when you cut yourself, platelets go there and they cause a clot. But the second thing platelets do is they release growth factors, and that's what heals the body in the area of injury, right? That's why when you cut yourself, you get a clot, you get a scab, the scab falls off and the tissue grows back. The reason the tissue grows back is because you have all these wonderful growth factors inside platelets. And so that's what the Pelong study uses, is we draw blood, we spin the blood down, we isolate the platelets, and then we re-inject them back into the penis. And we use an ultrasound guided technology that I developed to make it so it's you hardly feel it.
That's awesome. And so the Pelong procedure is just much safer, and it sounds like even more effective than a lot of the other things that we see out there on the market for this enhancement.
Right. Well, Pelong will give you length,
Okay.
erectile length, not just flaccid length, but erectile length. It'll give you girth and it improves function, right? So there's really not a good way to measure improvement in function in an already normally functioning penis.
Yeah.
But, guys know when things are working better. And in the study, we asked every one of the patients, is your erectile function the same, worse, much worse, better, or much better? And everyone said that it was better.
So when we say function, we're referring to the ability to get an erection, or like what does that
Well,
actually
so
mean?
everyone in the study was able to get an erection, but it was like the hardness or the
Felt
rigidity.
harder or more rigid. All right, that's cool. So for our listeners out there who are wondering, hey, do I have a small penis, an average penis, a large penis? Can you share with our listeners what's considered small, average, and large
Yeah,
size-wise?
so in the United States, the average erect penis length is 5.1 inches.
And that's a erect. Okay, so that's right,
Erect.
5.1 inches. Wow. Okay, and what's
So.
considered small? What's con I guess large is anything over that. So small would be anything under that, or how do we measure that?
Yeah, I mean, and at the end of the day, like I said, the job of the penis is to urinate and procreate. And so if you can urinate and procreate, then you're fine. I'm not encouraging you to get a bigger penis, but 300,000 American women each year get breast implants, and not all of them have cancer. So, people want bigger, better, more. Like they look at pornography and they see guys with big penises and they think, well, I'm never going to satisfy a woman if I don't have a penis that size. Or, some woman makes a comment to a guy like, oh, you're not as good as my ex-boyfriend. He had a bigger penis than you are. Or someone makes a comment in the locker room and people get these insecurities and then they act on these insecurities and they act on them in ways that aren't necessarily safe. And the Pelong is perfectly safe, right? The traction and suction are safe. The Affirm Science supplement is safe. And PRP is your own platelets. And if it's performed by someone who's competent in injection of platelets into your penis, it's totally safe. You're not going to hurt yourself. You're only going to benefit yourself by doing Pelong.
Yeah. I'd be curious if you're willing to share just a little bit of your personal story and like how did you get interested in men's health specifically? You have a pretty interesting background with your education. You also studied history at one point and then you switched into medicine. And would you just be willing to share a little bit of your personal story and how and why did you decide to specifically focus on men's sexual health?
Yeah, how long do you have?
We've got some time. I've got
I'm
about 40
just
minutes left.
teasing you. Oh, let's see. I went to Brown University and I was a history major because I knew I was going to be focused on medicine and biology for the rest of my life. And I didn't want to be like a super boring kind of nerd. All I know is biochemistry. So I love history. I love international and American history. And so I studied history in college, but I also studied pre-med. I went to Vanderbilt for medical school, but before I went to medical school, I did a year of research at American Red Cross in Rockville, Maryland, working for Harold T. Merriman, who was the first guy that figured out how to freeze blood for transfusion, right? You can't just take blood and throw it in the freezer because the red blood cells will pop because water expands as it freezes. And so you have to suspend it in a osmotic agent. And so Harold figured that one out. And so I was working in kidney cryopreservation for transplantation. Then I went to Vanderbilt for medical school. During medical school, I took a year off and went to Harvard Medical School and worked in the lab of Charles Carpenter and John Merrill, who were the ones that figured out how to do the first living-related kidney transplant and won the Nobel Prize for figuring that out. And then I went back to medical school and went off to match in urology because I was interested in doing kidney transplants and did 2 years of surgery at UCLA and then started my urology residency and became more interested in the prostate and prostate cancer. And so then I went off to private practice in Northern California and helped pioneer surgical robotics, working with the company Intuitive Surgical, which is a Bay Area company. I built our robotic center at John Muir Hospital, which is where I was at. And then built the Kidney Stone Center, then built the MRI-guided prostate biopsy center that we had. And then I became really interested in regenerative urology. So the ability to help men who no longer were able to get erections to be able to get erections again. And I worked with Gainswave and did research on focused shockwave therapy and PRP, and then became interested in men's health in general, testosterone replacement, physical optimization. I wrote my book, The 21st Century Man, which is the most comprehensive and medically accurate men's health book ever written, at over 900 pages, 101 chapters, and 60 co-contributors. And then I would see guys who tried stuff to make their penis bigger without success, and sometimes with great failure, and did P-Long, which is, you know, one of the research studies that I'm doing.
That's awesome. I would love to talk about your book, The 21st Century Man. So this is a very comprehensive resource on men's health. Can you tell us a little bit about what's in it? What question does it answer for men? Tell us about the book.
Yeah. So this was my COVID project, right? So I had to shut my office down for 3 months during COVID. And I'm not one of those people that likes kind of sitting around doing nothing. And so I started out by writing basically a sexual medicine, sexual health book for men. But, you know, as a physician and as sort of like a holistic physician, there's so much that goes into men's sexual health for men over the age of 40 or 50, right? So in your 20s, you know, you're having sex and it's different. But once you get over the age of, say, 40 or 50, I almost feel like it's like this Maslow's triangle, right? So at the bottom is physical health. And then there's mental health, and then there's relational health. And, you know, if you're physically healthy and your mental health is healthy and your relationships are healthy, then finally you get to the top, which is sexual health. So, you know, when you're over 50, you have to kind of do everything right in order to be in a relationship with a satisfying sexual, you know, relationship.
Yeah, you've got to have all the pieces in place because your body's changing and hormones shift. And
exactly. And so in the book, there's, you know, a big section on sexual and on physical medicine, but then there's also sections on specialty medicine. So, you know, things like sleep, like if you don't get good sleep, you're much less likely to make enough hormones and much less likely to have erections at night. So your erectile function is going to kick in. There's a section on addiction, right? So if you're addicted to something, you're much less likely to have good sex. There's a section on aesthetic medicine, right? So if you look like crap, you know, you're probably not going to be attractive to the other sex. There's a section on relationships, right? If you're not good at relationships, you're not going to be having physical intimacy. There's a section on mental health. And then there's a whole big section on sexual health, both sex, but then also kind of urology type stuff. So the prostate, like if you have prostate cancer, you're going to have to figure out a different way to have sex. And so, and I kept adding stuff. And then there's a lifestyle section, you know, so design for men. There's a section on sports written by Joe Starkey, who's a famous sports commentator. So, you know, really it's everything that you wish someone had told you, but never heard.
Wow. What
if
a
that
great
makes sense.
Yeah. And like, from the mouths of men who have lived it and breathed it and are experts.
Exactly. And, you know, the way that I write, you know, I'll read a 300 page book, and at the end of the 300 page book, there's about 4 pages of information. And I'm like, you know, why did they waste 10 hours of my life reading a 300 page book? That's they right. could have just given me a 4 page book.
Yeah.
And gotten the, but you know, so this is a 900 page book with 900 pages of information. Right. You can't summarize. This is like the summary of each one of these chapters could be a book unto itself. And I'm just basically distilling the essence of all these things. And it's not a 900 page book that you're supposed to read from cover to cover. Okay. It's a resource guide. So if you have a prostate issue, read my chapter on the prostate. If you're losing hair, read Miguel Canales's chapter on hair loss. Then there's some amazing chapters that I haven't found in any other book. So there's a chapter on what men need to know about menopause.
Oh, wow. Whoa. Okay. Hold on. Tell me about that chapter.
Oh, this is a fantastic chapter, right? So it's written by Russ Bartels, who's a friend of mine, who is a gynecologist, but he's in his mid-50s. He practices in Arizona. He does sexual medicine for both men and also for women. And, you know, he's married. So he gets the whole menopause thing from a personal standpoint and from a professional standpoint and from a sexual medicine standpoint. And he writes about menopause, and he also writes about the aging vagina and what you can do to rejuvenate the aging vagina. So if you're a guy in your mid-50s and all of a sudden your wife is going through menopause and she has an aging vagina, you better know what's going on.
Well, yeah, you better know what's going on and how to get that vagina on track, because we don't need to wither away in our 50s. Yeah. Men, that is just sort of a myth. Same, I think, with men's sexual health, right? Like, if you don't use it, you lose it. And a lot of what you're bringing here is really about the overall health. It's not just one thing. It's not just testosterone or lifestyle, but it's also your mental health, your emotional health, your activity level, how you're feeling about your body, how you look. Aesthetics is certainly a part of it as well. So it's this holistic approach.
Yeah. I mean, when patients come in to see me in my office in Northern California, we take a totally holistic approach to, I tell guys, you know, listen, we can do shockwave in your penis, but if you don't hit the gym and if you don't start eating better and you don't lose 30 pounds, it's not going to work.
Yeah.
You know, don't waste your time and don't waste my time. So, and it, you know, that's what's really, really gratifying. I had a patient come in the other day, 60 years old. I do adult circumcisions. He comes in for a circumcision because he's got phimosis. He can't pull his foreskin back, but he's 100 pounds overweight and he's drinking 8 beers a day.
Wow.
And I looked at him, I said, you know what? And I have this body composition analysis scan that I do on everyone. So I can tell exactly how much muscle he has, how much fat he is, how much fat he has. And I looked him in the eye. I said, listen, dude, if you don't do something about this, if you don't stop drinking tomorrow, you're going to fucking die a miserable death in the next 5 years. And he looked at me and he started tearing up. I said, you know, what's going on? He said, you know, I've been going to doctors for 25 years. He said, no one's actually ever told me that. And I saw him it was really gratifying. I saw him for a circumcision a week, like a month later, and he stopped drinking. Cold turkey.
Wow.
Yeah. And I saw him for his post-op check just the other day. Still no drinking.
Yeah. I mean, I think that, yeah, so it sounds like what you do, which is very rare in the medical field, you're actually spending time with your patients. You're actually taking inventories. You're looking at more than just the one thing. You're looking at the bigger picture of how these different parts of their life integrate to contribute to the current symptom or issue that they're having. Is that correct? Like really taking time with the patient to get the whole
Yeah,
picture?
I mean, you know, the thing is, there's actually an amazing chapter on the American healthcare system and understanding health insurance and your healthcare system and how to access the healthcare system, written by an insurance company executive, and a team of students from the Berkeley School of Public Health. You know, our medical system in the United States is broken beyond repair. It's really sad. And I see second opinions all the time. And I hear about colleagues in my community who are providing sort of substandard care. And I know that these people are intelligent, they're good doctors, and they're actually caring people, but it's the system that is just jamming more patients for throughput that really is broken. And men, especially men, have to be the advocates for their own health, right? So men are 50% less likely to go to medical appointments than women. And men are dying at an earlier age than they were 10 or 15 years ago. And the reason for that is alcohol abuse, opioids, and suicide, right? There's an epidemic of diseases of despair in this country, and men don't take care of themselves. So this book is a way for men to take care of themselves, right? Because if you're working and you're busy and you don't have a chance to get to the doctor, this is a resource for you to read about some of the conditions that you may have, or maybe you're too embarrassed or ashamed to go into the doctor for the condition that you have. This is a way for you to learn about it.
Yeah, I love that. And this is available on audiobook as well, your book, correct?
Yeah, actually, one of my patients told me it's on Spotify now, which I'm so happy about because I love Spotify.
Yeah, I do too.
In
I
my
love sex.
office, I used to be a radio DJ. So I
Same.
love music. I'm very, very, very particular about music. And so I have now 7 playlists for my office. A
Oh,
total
that's
of three. Yeah, I have a total of 3,000 songs. So I never have to listen to the same song twice in a month.
my
And I
goodness.
never have to listen to a song that I don't like.
That's great. I love it.
Yeah.
Love it.
So yes, my book is on Spotify.
All right, yay, Spotify. I think it's really interesting too, the topic that you bring up. Well, actually, there's a couple things I'm really curious about, but let's jump on this one first. About, that men are what, 50% less likely to go to see a doctor than women. We kind of know that. I think that's sort of
Yeah.
true.
Well, I mean, the thing is, women are plugged into their gynecologist from an early age. So there's a doctor that you guys see, whether you're having babies or not having babies. And then women are much more likely to take their kids to the pediatrician than
True.
their husbands are. So, they actually know where the health insurance card is, and they actually understand what type of insurance you have, whether it's an HMO, a PPO, an EPO, right? So like I have guys that come to see me from the Lawrence Livermore lab. Like these are the guys, these are nuclear physicists. They're the people that shoot missiles out of the sky, right? These are the people that develop all those things. And I'm like, well, do you have an HMO or a PPO? And they look at me
What is that?
like, what is that? I'm like, dude, you're like, I want this one patient. He was a nuclear physicist. I said, so have you ever seen a nuclear explosion? He said, well, I planned 6 of them.
Oh my gosh.
Right. So like this is the caliber of people that I'm seeing. And he doesn't know whether he's got an HMO or a PPO.
Only the relevant things that are important, you know?
Yeah, I mean, that's a true story.
I create
So,
nuclear.
I mean, that's why women are much more plugged into the healthcare system is because they're taking their healthcare card out to go to the gynecologist. They're taking it out to go to the pediatrician. And for the most part, men are reasonably healthy, and a lot of men don't really need to go to the doctor till they're in their 40s or sometimes even their 50s.
Well, why? But that's because the penis doesn't function as well by that stage. I mean, isn't that usually the thing that gets a guy into the doctor is
Yeah,
the
I mean that's the thing that'll drag a guy into the
Yeah.
doctor's office finally is like, my penis doesn't work. But by the time your penis doesn't work, there's a lot of damage that's done on the inside. You have cardiovascular disease.
Right.
The erectile function is a function of circulation. And when your penis isn't working, it means your circulation isn't working, which means your exercise tolerance is down. It means your heart is getting clogged. It means the blood vessels to your brain are getting clogged, right? And the time to do something about that was in your 20s or 30s or 40s. By the time you hit your 40s or 50s or 60s, it may be too late.
Yeah. Well, now you've got this Gaines wave procedure, which I'm really curious about. Maybe we can touch on that a little bit because I think it sounds really awesome for these men that are coming to you in their 40s, 50s, and 60s and like, hey, my junk doesn't work. Can you help me? And apparently that procedure is pretty effective and you get some good mileage on it, right? A couple of
Yeah.
years and a half. Can you talk about that a little bit about what
Yeah,
that
so
is?
I was sort of talking about things in a more global perspective, but my practice really focuses on what are the things that we can do to help men who no longer are able to get an erection. I can sort of go through the algorithm of stuff that I do because I kind of throw the kitchen sink at men. And so the first thing I do is to replace nitric oxide with a nitric oxide booster, right? So nitric oxide is released by nerves and it makes something called CGMP, and CGMP opens up blood vessels. And as you get older, you make less and less nitric oxide, which means your circulation declines, which means your circulation to the brain declines, which means you don't think as well, means your circulation to the muscles decline, which means your athletic performance declines. It means your circulation throughout your body is worse, so you get higher blood pressure. It means circulation to the penis is worse, or the clitoris for that matter. And so your erections aren't as good, or your lubrication or clitoral function isn't as good. And so I created a supplement called Affirm, which is mostly beets and citrulline, which comes from watermelon, and that boosts circulation naturally. I use it to get people off their blood pressure medication. And really exciting, I'm presenting at the Sexual Medicine Society meeting in Arizona this weekend by my study that used Affirm before you went to sleep and used something called the FirmTech ring, which
Oh
measures
yeah.
nighttime erections.
Yeah, we know
Yeah, and
that one.
we boosted nighttime erections 33%.
That's amazing. That's awesome.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just had I can't remember his name, but he was just on Sex Talk
Oh,
Cafe.
Elliot. Yeah,
Yeah,
Elliot Justin.
Elliot Justin. Yep. So yeah, that's
Yeah.
great. I think that kind of stuff can work so well hand in hand because you can actually measure the efficacy of some of these supplements, which otherwise you wouldn't really know if they're working or not. And so
Exactly.
that's really great
And
that you're.
so, the super exciting follow-up study to this is the CONFIRM 2 study, which, okay, I'm going to do a little biochemistry with you. Nitric
Okay.
oxide creates an elevation in cyclic GMP, okay? And Viagra and Cialis and Levitra block an enzyme called PDE5. And what PDE5 does is it breaks down cyclic GMP. So nitric oxide makes cyclic GMP and PDE5 breaks down cyclic GMP, but Viagra blocks PDE5.
Okay.
So Viagra basically keeps cyclic GMP around. So theoretically, there should be a synergistic relationship between nitric oxide boosters and PDE5 inhibitors, but no one has ever done a study using objective data to prove this. And so the CONFIRM 2 is using the FermTec ring to measure the effects of a combination of a Ferm and a PDE5 inhibitor. And I did the, I'm always in my studies, and I was the first subject in the study. And what we found is a pretty dramatic increase in nighttime erectile function by using a combination of those, of the Affirm and Viagra. And so this actually is going to be a study when we finish it, that's going to have major implications because a lot of men can't take a full dose of Viagra or Cialis because they
Why?
get headaches,
Okay.
facial flushing,
Well,
reflux,
okay,
nasal
yeah.
congestion.
I mean, that would be my question here because my understanding with the Viagra and Cialis, those types of products, over time they become ineffective. Is this true? Because the body kind of builds up tolerance. So, I mean, what do you do in that scenario? And are they really long-term solutions? Like, I'm not convinced that they're long-term solutions, or maybe they are different with the Affirm product added in, but let's
Well,
talk about that.
so the reason that people get tolerized to these Viagra and Levitra is not because the system gets tolerized. It's because you're not making as much nitric oxide anymore. So if you don't have enough cyclic GMP, then it doesn't matter if you take a truckload of
Oh.
Viagra, it's not going to work as well. So you need more CGMP. And then you need the Viagra to prevent the breakdown. But that, like you said, that only amplifies the signal. The other part of it are the pipes, right? The
Yep.
arteries that are pumping blood into the penis. And that's where shockwave therapy or Gainswave, it's called a lot of different things, but that's where that comes in. And what that is doing is it's sending intense kind of pulsed sound waves into the penis and tricking the penis into thinking that there's an injury. And in the body, when you get an injury, you get an injury response. And part of that injury response is the growth of new blood vessels, right? And when you grow new blood vessels, you're able to generate more blood pressure into the penis that will then create an erection. So, it's important to understand the mechanism by which men get an erection. There's an artery in the erectile body that runs through the middle of the erectile body called the deep cavernosal artery. And arteries in the body have muscular walls, so they push blood forward, right? That's why you have a pulse, right? And so as they push blood into the penis swells, and there are veins that bring blood out of the penis. And those veins live on the periphery of the erectile body, and they live between two layers of tissue, almost like an ice cream sandwich, and they're veins. So as opposed to arteries that have muscular walls, veins have really thin walls. And so it's very easy to compress a vein. So the artery is in the middle. It's not being compressed and it's pumping. The veins are on the periphery. They're thin-walled and they get compressed. When they get compressed, now you trap blood in the penis, and the penis becomes rigid as the artery keeps pumping blood into the penis. right? So there's a threshold blood pressure that you need to achieve in order to seal off those veins. It's kind of like, say you're on the roof of a burning building, right? And there's another building that's 6 feet away. If you jump 6 feet, it's a great day. If you jump 5.5 feet, it's a long way down. So if you achieve that threshold blood pressure, it's a great night. If you don't achieve that threshold blood pressure, you have a full penis, but you don't have a rigid erection. So you're not able to achieve penetration. So that's the key, is
Okay.
getting the blood pressure in the penis high enough.
Yeah, and I think I think a lot of people don't know that, just the general public, unless you kind of research it or study sexuality like you and I do, like that tends to not be what most people think when they think about erectile dysfunction. They think that testosterone is the answer to that. Can we talk about that? Because testosterone is not the key to harder, firmer erections, correct?
Yeah. It's the key to harder, firmer muscles, but not harder, firmer erections, right? So erections are a function entirely of blood flow. And so testosterone really has nothing to do with blood flow. Testosterone will give you libido. And when you have higher libido, then you have higher signaling for erectile function, right? So your body's more likely to want to get an erection. But if you don't have adequate blood flow, then your erection will not be adequate for intercourse.
What would you say to men who really could use? Well, we'll just talk in general because I think the Gainswave therapy is great. The Pelong, like all the stuff that you do at your clinic is really amazing. And we'll have a minute here at the end of the show to tell people how to find you. But when it comes to the genitals, especially with men, there can really be this resistance to having anybody mess with their stuff. So I imagine that there's a lot more men out there that really need the help that you provide, but that can't quite get over the idea of somebody doing something to their penis.
Yeah.
And I'm just kind of curious, like, what would your advice be, or how have you seen men sort of overcome that piece so that they can get the help that they need?
That's a really, really important point that you bring up. And there's a stigma attached to erectile function. Like, for example, say you're at work and your father's 80 years old and he's having heart issues, right? So you're telling everyone at the work, listen, I gotta leave work early. I'm gonna pick up my dad. I'm gonna take him to the cardiologist. And everyone at work's like, oh, that's so nice. You're such a good son. Then a couple of weeks later, your dad tells you, listen, I'm having erectile dysfunction. I can't get it on with your mom anymore. I need to go to the urologist. And so then you tell everyone at work, listen, my 80-year-old dad can't get it up anymore and he can't hump my mom. Does anyone mind if I take my dad to the urologist so he can have better erections? Like, how do you think that's going to go over?
Not very
But
well.
it's the same disease process, right? It's the same blood vessels that are getting blocked. And so there is this stigma associated with erectile dysfunction, and there's shame and there's embarrassment. The same for the same reason you go to the cardiologist and get stents put in your heart or have heart surgery or get stress tests or angioplasty or put on medications. Erectile function is the same physiologic process. And so when people accept that this is a physiologic disease process that's going on in their body and they need to see a doctor, for the same reason they would go to a cardiologist or any other doctor, it takes some of the shame and embarrassment out of it.
Just normalizing it, which I think is really the challenge in general with sexual health. I mean, we just run into that across the board with, in your field and my field, which is why I'm glad that, that you're here on this show right now sharing your wisdom, because I really think that we need, that's part of the mission of this show, Sex Talk Cafe, is to normalize these conversations so that people don't have to live in shame or, we have so many options available to us in our modern day. For so many different types of challenges that we encounter in sexual health that were not available, many years ago. Maybe you can talk. Can you talk a little bit more just about your practice, what types of services you offer, what kinds of issues you treat? We've talked about a couple of them here today, but you do a lot of other things at your practice, and maybe you can share just a little bit about that, and then we'll let people know how to get a hold of you.
Yeah, well, I mean, in
Okay.
sexual medicine, in addition to a nitric oxide booster, PDE5 inhibitors like Viagra, Levitra, and Cialis, and shockwave therapy, we also do platelet-rich plasma injections. So, like we talked about with the PLONG study, we also do Botox injections. So, Botox relaxes smooth muscle, and it can actually relax vascular smooth muscle. And so it makes it easier for you to get an erection, and it makes erections last longer. You can also use a penis pump, right? So if you're losing nighttime erections, your penis becomes shorter, and it becomes kind of the tissue becomes stiffer. And so by using a penis pump for 10 to 15 minutes a day, it can help increase the elasticity and get your penis length or size back to the way it was. There are also some specialty medications like PT-141, also called bremelanotide, also called Vyleesi, which uses a pathway in the brain called the melanocortin 4 receptor pathway, which allows men and women to get increased in desire and also increase in erectile function. There's also oxytocin, which is a bonding hormone that women produce when they're lactating, but also helps men and women kind of become more sexually active with each other. There's apomorphine, which is another medication that we can use to improve desire and sexual function. There's Trimix, so it's a medication you can inject into the penis. These are for men with more severe erectile dysfunction, and that really helps almost every man maximize the input of arterial blood into the penis. There are penis implants. So there's surgical ways to improve erectile function. So like if you're a 50-year-old guy who has prostate cancer surgery and need to have the nerves cut and can't get an erection anymore, there's still a way for you to achieve erectile function. You can use a penis pump, pump it up and put a ring around the base of the penis. So there's lots and lots of ways to improve sexual function, sexual performance. And so if you're suffering, please go to someone who's qualified to help you in that way.
Well, let's talk about that. Now, do you have any online, can people anywhere in the world work with you or anywhere in the United States? Do you have a virtual aspect to your practice or is it only in person up there in the
You
Bay
know, so
Area?
I do a lot of like second opinion type stuff
Okay.
for people all over the country and even all over the world. And my office is in Northern California, and I do get, folks flying in from all different places to see me, but as far as the PLONG, if you go to p-long.com, we have a network of 50 or 60 providers around the country that are qualified to do PLONG. To find a qualified sexual medicine doctor, there is something called SMSNA, Sexual Medicine Society of North America, dot, I think it's org, dot org or dot com. And you can find someone who's specifically trained in sexual medicine.
Okay, great. And I'll drop that resource in the show notes. And this can you so we've got p-long.com for the PLONG
Correct.
booster call, and there's practitioners all over for that. I'll get the other one when I publish this. I'll get that and drop that in the show notes. Where else, how else can people find you or connect with you and what you're doing and to learn more?
Yeah, so you can go to brandeismd.com, BrandeisMD.com. That's my medical practice, but I have a lot of resources on there too. I have a bunch of ebooks and that kind of stuff. And then if you're interested in my men's health book, you can go to the21stcenturyman.com, all written out in letters, the21stcenturyman.com. And if you're interested in Affirm or my other men's health supplements, go to Affirm Science, AFFIRM science.com. And then I have a YouTube channel. I think it's Brandeis MD. Or if you just look my name up under YouTube, it'll pop up. And I have an Instagram. And I'm really excited. I'm learning more about ChatGPT and how to chop my book up into really short segments. And so I'm going to start doing what I'm going to call a men's health minute.
Oh, great.
And basically use the content of my book and every day just do like a minute or two for men to teach them how to improve their health.
Yeah, because 900 pages, that's a hefty book.
That is a hefty book, but like I said, it's not meant to be read cover to cover. Each chapter is 5 or 10 pages, and so you don't have to be one of those people that reads everything cover to cover.
Right. Awesome. Well, great. Is there anything else that you would like to leave our listeners with today that you think is relevant or that they should know before we wrap up?
Well, I always do my men's health in 10 seconds.
Okay, let's hear your
So I
mental
have 10 seconds, advice in 10 seconds that'll make you healthier than about 95% of men.
Okay, let's hear it.
Don't drink, don't smoke, don't do drugs, don't eat too much, exercise every day, stretch every day, do yoga, be nice to other people, and get enough sleep.
I love it. Simple and basically free.
Yeah, pretty much free. In fact, you save a lot of money by, stopping drinking, stopping smoking.
You might put yourself out of business if everyone just followed that advice.
Yeah, that's okay. I'd find something else to do.
Awesome. Well, thank you so much, Dr. Brandeis, for being on the Sex Talk Cafe. It's been a delight having you.
Hey, my pleasure. Thank you so much, Susan.
Thank you for joining me today for the Sex Talk Cafe. Please be sure to show your support by subscribing to this podcast and sharing it with your friends. To keep in the loop on future events and happenings, and to grab your copy of our free ebook, The Pleasure Keys, 7 Secrets to Feminine Sexual Fulfillment, visit us online at pathwaytopleasure.com.